Let us pray for the reading and preaching of God's Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak to us from your Word, that you would feed and nourish our souls. And we pray, O Lord, that you would help us to see the glories of our Savior. And may we ever trust in him and in him alone. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 29. Exodus chapter 29, where we, in our series through the book of Exodus, we just so happen to come to the consecration of Aaron and his sons to the priesthood. And so let us look at that and see how this applies to the installation of elders in the church. Exodus chapter 29. At verse 1, hear now the word of our God. And this is what you shall do to them to hallow them for ministering to me as priests. Take one young bull and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread and unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and you shall make them of wheat flour. You shall put them in one basket and bring them in the basket with the bull and the two rams. And Aaron and his sons you shall bring to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall wash them with water. Then you shall take the garments, put the tunic on Aaron, and the robe of the ephod and the breastplate, and gird him with the intricately woven band of the ephod. You shall put the turban on his head, and put the holy crown on the turban, and you shall take the anointing oil, pour it on his head, and anoint him. Then you shall bring his sons and put tunics on them, and you shall gird them with sashes, Aaron and his sons, and put the hats on them. The priesthood shall be theirs for a perpetual statute. So you shall consecrate Aaron and his sons. You shall also have the bull brought before the tabernacle of meeting, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the bull. Then you shall kill the bull before the Lord by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And you shall take some of the blood of the bull and put it on the horns of the altar with your finger and pour the blood beside the base of the altar. And you shall take all the fat that covers the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver and the two kidneys and the fat that is on them and burn them on the altar. But the flesh of the bull with its skin and its offal you shall burn with fire outside the camp. It is a sin offering. You shall also take one ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram, and you shall kill the ram, and you shall take its blood and sprinkle it all around on the altar. Then you shall cut the ram in pieces, wash its entrails and its legs, and put them with its pieces and with its head, and you shall burn the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. You shall also take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram. Then you shall kill the ram and take some of its blood and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron and on the tip of the right ear of his sons, on the thumb of their right hand and on the big toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar. And you shall take some of the blood that is on the altar and some of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and on his son, on his garments and on his sons, and on the garments of his sons with him. And he and his garments shall be hallowed, and his sons' garments with him. Also you shall take the fat of the ram, the fat tail, and the fat that covers the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, the two kidneys and the fat on them, the right thigh, for it is a ram of consecration, one loaf of bread, one cake made with oil, and one wafer from the basket of the unleavened bread that is before the Lord. And you shall put all these in the hands of Aaron and in the hands of his sons, and you shall wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. You shall receive them back from their hands and burn them on the altar as a burnt offering, as a sweet aroma before the Lord. It is an offering made by fire to the Lord. Then you shall take the breast of the ram of Aaron's consecration and wave it as a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be your portion. And from the ram of the consecration you shall consecrate the breast of the wave offering, which is waved, and the thigh of the heave offering, which is raised, of that which is for Aaron, and of that which is for his sons. It shall be from the children of Israel, for Aaron and his sons, by a statute forever. For it is a heave offering. It shall be a heave offering from the children of Israel, from the sacrifices of their peace offerings, that is, their heave offering to the Lord. And the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him, to be anointed in them, and to be consecrated in them. That son who becomes priest in his place shall put them on for 7 days when he enters the tabernacle of meeting to minister in the holy place. And you shall take the ram of the consecration and boil its flesh in the holy place. Then Aaron and his sons shall eat the flesh of the ram and the bread that is in the basket by the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they shall eat those things with which the atonement was made to consecrate and to sanctify them. But an outsider shall not eat them, because they are holy. And if any of the flesh of the consecration offerings or of the bread remains until the morning, then you shall burn the remainder with fire. It shall not be eaten, because it is holy. Thus you shall do to Aaron and his sons according to all that I have commanded you. 7 days you shall consecrate them, and you shall offer a bull every day as a sin offering for atonement. You shall cleanse the altar when you make atonement for it, and shall anoint it to sanctify it. 7 days you shall make atonement for the altar and sanctify it, and the altar shall be most holy. Whatever touches the altar must be holy. Now this is what you shall offer on the altar: 2 lambs of the first year, day by day continually. 1 lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. With the 1 lamb shall be 1/10 of an ephah of flour mixed with 1/4 of a hin of pressed oil, and 1/4 of a hin of wine as a drink offering. And the other lamb you shall offer at twilight, and you shall offer with it the grain offering and the drink offering as in the morning, for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet with you to speak with you. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. So I shall consecrate the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. I will also consecrate both Aaron and his sons to minister to me as priests. I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we have the privilege of installing Detmer and Jim as elders in this church. And as I said, in the Lord's perfect providence, he has brought us here to this passage in which we have the installation of Aaron and his sons as priests before the Lord. And in this installation service of the priests, we are taught 3 important truths about the sacrifice of Jesus and how it is necessary for the installation of God's office bearers, but also the comfort that the sacrifice of Christ provides for office bearers as they serve God's people. Before we get into the 3 things that we learn in our text, I want us to understand why these mean so much to leaders in Christ's church, and also why they should mean so much to the congregation. How many of you are sinners? How many of you are full of sin? How many of you have committed all kinds of sins? I notice we're not a Pentecostal bunch. We don't have the hands going up. But I can safely assume that it's 100%. Now imagine that you are a sinful person. And you are constantly fighting against all of your own sins. We all have sins that we struggle with more than others. And you're struggling with those sins all the time. Wrestling, battling, trying to follow the Lord and run away from those sinful things. Those things that bring only destruction. That's not easy. The Christian life is not easy. It isn't a Hallmark movie where all of a sudden life is just grand at the end. I believe in Jesus and now everything's wonderful. No, you believe in Jesus and now your life gets really hard. Because you can't just do whatever you want to anymore. You have to serve the Lord of all glory. You have a king who has commanded you to do things that are contrary to your sinful nature. You don't naturally want to do those things. You would rather have all your idols than worship the Lord alone, for example. And now you have to fight against all of that. You have to fight against that sinful inclination to serve the idols of your heart and instead serve the Lord alone. And now imagine the Lord, the Most Holy One, says to you, now you have to lead other people out of their sin and lead them to Christ. Every leader in the Church of Christ that is worth his salt knows that left to himself, that is a hopeless task. It is impossible left to ourselves. How could we possibly lead someone else away from their sin and to Christ when I've got my own thing going on here? I've got this own battle going on within me that I'm constantly having to deal with. But there is good news. Because with man, of course, those things are impossible. But praise be to God that with Him, all things are possible. And so, you see, brothers and sisters, if any man is to be a leader in Christ's church, if any of us are going to lead anyone away from their sin and lead them to God, we must first be drawn to God. We must be first washed by God. And we must first be renewed by God. And this is what we see in our passage before us. God calls Aaron and his sons to serve as priests before him. That in and of itself is an important point. No one ever rightly anoints himself to serve before the Lord according to the offices of the church, Old or New Testament. Not even Jesus himself proclaims himself I'm calling myself the Christ now. I'm taking that office myself. No, not even Jesus does that. He's anointed by the Father with the Holy Spirit in his baptism to take on that anointing. No one can ever take it to themselves. Any man called to an office of the church is to be called by God through the inward testimony of the Holy Spirit and the proper government of the church. And anyone who is called to an office of the church, pastor, elder, or deacon, they are to know that they are able to carry out this office that God has given to them because they are washed and covered in the blood of Christ. The bull, well, notice, first of all, we have some animals involved in the sacrifices here. We have a bull and two rams. And in each of those cases where each one of those three animals is sacrificed, the priests are to put their hands on the head of those animals, signifying the transfer of sins from the priest to the animal. That the animal is taking the place of the priest. The bull is burned up on the altar, except for the unclean parts, which are burned outside the camp, which is also a reference to the sacrifice of Christ, who was sacrificed outside the camp. The first ram is completely burned up on the fires of the altar, and all of that is signifying that Christ endured the fiery wrath of God against our sin. It consumed him to death. The second ram, we see that the blood of the ram was used to be sprinkled or whooshed around the altar. But also notice that for all the priests, the blood of the sacrifice was to be put on the tip of their right ear, on their right thumb, and on their right big toe. And it was also sprinkled on them. And this was to symbolize that they were completely covered by the innocent blood of the animal. That, of course, pointed forward to the washing and covering that actually does happen by the blood of Christ. And as a reminder to every leader in the Church of Christ, but also every member of the Church of Christ, that we can only serve before our God in the ways that He has called us because we first have been washed in the innocent blood of the Lamb of God, who has taken away all of our sin. Next, we see that there is a wave offering and a heave offering. And these were symbolic, that as the priest ate part of that sacrifice and it was given to him, we are reminded that the priest was given by the Lord blessing. And he was enjoying that blessing. But also that the priest in doing so was giving glory to God and thanking God and praising God for his blessing. In essence, the priest, by doing so, is saying that all glory belongs to the Lord, and every blessing that is giving, and every blessing and good work that is even worked by the priest himself, is from God. He is the author of everything good. And this is an attitude that not just leaders in the church, but everyone in the church should have. That we should be ready to praise God and thank Him for everything. Praise Him for all the blessings that we receive in this life. And praise Him for all the blessings that we are able to give to other people. Praise Him for when you see our God serving you through His people. And praise Him when you are able to serve others in the church. For in your ability to give and in the blessedness of your receiving, it is all a gift from God. That's not natural to us, is it? When we do something that's really helpful for someone else, and especially when it's something that is really sacrificial, we lay down our life for somebody else, what do we like to do? We become the world's best backpatters, don't we? Look at me. Aren't I such a great person? But leaders in Christ Church and every member of Christ Church must resist that temptation. And we must immediately give glory to God and say, "Thank you, Lord, that I was able to help this person. And Lord, in my weak way that I could help this person in that way, I pray that you would bring further blessing. For I acknowledge that I can plant and that I can water, but you, O Lord, can only give the increase." That children, just as you can plant a seed in the ground and you can water it, you can't make it grow. Only the Lord can do that. And that's true for everything that we do in service for other people. You've maybe struggled with someone that's caught in sin. And you've run alongside of them, and you're wrestling right along with them, and you're giving them all the ammo you've got, right? You're leading them to Jesus as best you can with your words and with your deeds. You're trying to help them. And yet, there's no fruit in their life anymore. That's a reminder to us that it's not in our power that blessing, real blessing, comes. But it's always from the Lord. And that's what we have to remember. And so, as a congregation, we need to have this attitude. We need to praise our God when we see the elders and deacons of this church serving you. And you need to praise God for them, even when they serve you poorly. That's hard. It's really good when someone serves you just the way you want to be served. Then it's easy to be thankful. How often does that happen? Not very often. Not with church leaders, not with family members, not with anybody, let's be honest. But we need to praise God even when the leaders of Christ Church serve us poorly. Remember this. Rejoice when you see their weaknesses. For then you are reminded that they are just men, and that you are called to place your ultimate trust in the Lord alone and not in them. Rejoice when you see their weaknesses, for then you will know and see the power of God to work through sinful men to accomplish His perfect plan. That's hard for us to do, but it is what we are called to do, because we must remember that our God is the giver of all good things. So even when we see their weaknesses, we can rejoice, because we are reminded that even through that weak person, God will bless me. Rejoice when you see their strengths and give thanks. For then you are reminded that your Heavenly Father cares for you and is serving you through these men according to the giftedness that He has given to each one. So there's both. Rejoice and give thanks for their strengths. Rejoice and give thanks for their weaknesses. In the last section of our passage, we see the daily sacrifices that were to take place, first for the priests and then for the people. And showing, of course, that the Aaronic priesthood was not sufficient to take away sins, as the author of Hebrews points out. Rather, it was all pointing forward to Christ. But these daily sacrifices to teach us something about the sacrifice of Christ, that even though the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross was once for all, it has daily consequences. Every day we fail. And every time that we fail, every time that we sin, remember, Christ has redeemed you and cleansed you to serve Him. I am, of course, reminded, as you should be too, of Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah is called to be a prophet of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 6, we read, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory.' And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged.'" Christ has cleansed us to fulfill the callings that He has given to us. And that applies as well to those who are leaders in Christ Church. There are many times where, as a leader in Christ Church, you doubt yourself, because you can easily look and point at all of your failings and all of your weaknesses, and there are many. But God's grace is greater still. And even though Satan would love to accuse you of all kinds of things that you have done and that you are guilty of, be reminded that he cannot bring one charge against you in the highest court of heaven, for Christ has paid for all of them. I love what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, and we'll close with this. Previous to this passage, Paul has just gone on and explained his sin. He explained his pride that he had had of being a Jew and of being so zealous. Zealous to the point of persecuting the church of Christ. But then, how could this man, who persecuted the church of Christ and who trusted so much in his own righteousness, how could such a person be an apostle in the church of Christ? This is what Paul says. Not that I have already attained or already perfected. He's saying, I haven't been perfected. I'm still a sinner. I'm still struggling. I'm still wrestling. And he says, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul understands his sin is done away with. And that he can now, because of the sacrifice of Christ, press on to serve the Lord. Because Christ's sacrifice is enough. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we give you thanks and praise for your word. And we pray, O Lord, that each one of us would be comforted to know that in all the callings, the various callings that you've given to us, whether it's pastor, elder, deacon, father, mother, child, sibling, friend, whatever it is, Lord, we know that you have gifted us to carry out that calling. And we know, O Lord, that we can do that calling before your face in holiness, not because of who we are and our greatness, but because of the sufficiency of the blood of our Savior to wash us clean and to cause us to be sanctified and holy in your presence. And so we pray, O Lord, in this, that we would grow in our faith, that we would trust not in ourselves and in our own strength, but increasingly that we would trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Increase our faith. Help our unbelief, O Lord. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.